Hello and welcome to another episode of Winners Only Club, the podcast. Today, our guest is Zach Erdem. We were kind of goofing around in the beginning, and also there is a lot of me fact checking because before interviewing Zach, I've seen a lot of interviews where they just kiss up this guy, and I don't want to be like that. I want to maintain my journalistic neutrality.
Live from the Hamptons, broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to WOC, Winners Only Club. Here's your host, Lulu Romano.
What is up, guys? Hello and welcome to another episode of Winners Only Club, the number one podcast in the Hamptons and beyond. Joining me today is the owner of 75 Main, Blue Mar, Zach Erdem of 75 Main, and a bunch of other things. We're live from Southampton at his restaurant, which is why there is some noises in the background.
Hello everyone, this is Zach Erdem, owner of 75 Main Group, owns 75 Main, Blue Mar, Buddha Lounge, Harpoon House, Summer House, some other couple places in the Hamptons, the Great Hamptons area. As most of you guys know me, I am from Turkey and I moved to US 2002. I've been living in the New York area since then, but I have been traveling to Miami, Vegas, LA, and some other cool places in a great country in America. My personal life, if you want to know more about it, I can tell you. Of course, I'm single and
that's honestly the only reason he agreed to do this. He's like, oh, I want to give this opportunity to tell everyone I'm single, ladies. And I have my business that I'm so successful. Now I just want a woman. So what's up, ladies?
I do get this a lot, especially when you're on the nightclubs and especially when you have the good nights and you have all the big name celebrities coming in. The girls usually come to the door and they claim that they are my girlfriends, they're my ex-girlfriends, they're my sisters, which I never had a sister, but it's, you know, the way they're trying to get in and get my attention, which I get that. I keep myself single for the lucky one. I'm still looking for the best one. Hasn't come yet, but not looking for crazy about it. I hope one day I'll find this lucky guy, lucky girl, and to be with and enjoy the life and travel the world together.
Are you taking a celibacy right now?
Am I taking...
Or like you're not dating or you're not having sex? Or you're not
No, the sex is the best part in the life. Cool. So sex is always the first choice. Dating is okay. And you know, I don't want to break no one else's heart unless I'm serious with somebody. But of course, the sex is the best part of the life we are living with. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. And only drugs I have, which is sex, which is the best.
I asked if you did because you're sober and everything else, which does that make you a fraud to be a nightclub owner and you drink tea while everyone's drunk off their face?
That's the best part of it. So when I opened my first nightclub, not most of people knows it, but when I bought my nightclub, that was 2016. So I told my manager I want an espresso machine in the club. And he looked at me like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? And I'm like, listen, you don't know me, but I don't drink all the way. I'll drink tea or espresso, but I like to have espresso machine in the club. So when I want to, you guys want to serve me the espresso, nothing else besides water. So I was the only one to bought a nice espresso machine for my nightclub. Two of them, actually. Each nightclub had the espresso machine. They make sure the management, where they were like so concerned about it. They make sure that I have something to drink. And while I was sitting with the $10,000, $20,000 tables that have an espresso under my table.
The thing that's very interesting about Zach is that he came from a life of being a shepherd, like the sheep, bah. So tell us your exact morning routine of when you were tending sheep, because that is something that is so different from this.
Listen, it's so important. I love being shepherd.
I
want to
know a breakdown, like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 7, 16.
I can't tell you how happy I was. When I was in the mountain in the morning, you know, you get up 7 o'clock in the morning, you take your animals. 6:30, I get up, get out, you know, my mom used to give me milk and some stuff to eat there during the daytime when I was out in the mountain with the animals. So I didn't have a chance to come back to the village. So you basically leave 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. from May to probably mid-October. That was my full schedule. When I was 12, I was told that I was going to be the shepherd, going to the mountain and with my animals and all other stuff. And my other brothers were working on the other stuff, which we had those all stuff that we were collecting for winter. That winter, when it snow hits, you have no place to go except you're in your village. You have no road, you have no car, you have no transportation at all. So you're on the middle of the mountain and you're just surviving, waiting for the snow finish and get back to your normal life, which, you know, go to city, go to state or somewhere else to get some stuff for your family, for your animals. If you get sick, basically you're either on, you know, in your God hand. You might die, or you have no doctor, you have no one to fix you. So it's basically living in the mountain by yourself, which was a fun part. I enjoyed living in the mountain, and I learned the life better. I learned to like have to be pure people, pure person. When I arrived in America, I met people who were stealing. I met people who were beating people each other. I met so many other stuff that I was never experienced in my life. Yes, those things happen in Turkey as well. But when you live in the mountain, you have only certain people living there, all your family members, and you know, you don't fight, you don't do crazy stuff each other. You basically protect everyone else, and you only have 10, 12 people living in this small mountain village. You don't have something to fight for it. So you basically support each other, and life goes on. Then I was 18, and I had enough, and I needed to move out and change my life. I believe in one door closed and always another door opens for you, no matter what you do in the life. Still exists and still always gonna be there. And you don't want to do this business, you close it, you shake your hand, live in the good term and go something else. And I'm sure there was someone's waiting for you.
You know the app Wikipedia, the page by
Wikipedia? Yeah, Wikipedia.
I'm obsessed with that. And sometimes I look at all these people who I respect and are fond of. But the thing is, it's very interesting because it says like Chelsea Handler left from New Jersey to LA when she was 19.
Correct.
And then the next sentence says, the next year she became a talk show host. How did she go from 19 going to LA, no job, no money, next year she has her own talk show? How, like, did she suck dick at Burger King? Did she meet the right people? How did it work? Tell us, how did you go from $20 in your pocket to owning all these places in the Hamptons? Like, what? Like, tell us the specifics, please.
But listen, it's like you just mentioned, like, this girl went to the LA. She was living in New Jersey and went to LA to try something new, right? This is what I was thinking. I was saying, I want to try something new, and I want to get out of from the village that I was going to die, like being shepherd, which is not a bad thing. I loved it. I loved being in the shepherd. I loved being in with the animals. They made me to love animals more than human being. They made me to trust animals more than human being. I'm not even like kidding. I get scared from people, not the animals ever. Animals are probably our best friends. Animals probably our best life time friends. You can trust, you can be with, never gonna hurt you, bother you any, unless, you know, you feed them and do proper thing for them as well, treat them well. For that woman, I give it credit. If you don't take a risk, the biggest risk is not to take the risk. In the life, you want to be the best radio show. Did you ever try all those places? Did you ever do anything different than what everyone does? It's gonna probably make you the difference. Think about it, what these people do. Like, that woman probably didn't even know she's gonna have that, go and open the door and get this best radio host or the show. But she tried. At least she knew something was gonna happen. It's the same thing for you, anyone else. You wanna do something, just try it. If you don't try, you're never gonna know what this is. It's gonna be good or bad,
right,
for you.
But I guess the specific question is, you start off as a dishwasher, right?
In this restaurant, yes.
This is where it's insane. How can you possibly save enough money as a dishwasher and bartender later on, buster promoted, to owning a restaurant? How did you get investors?
No, I don't like to deal with investors or partners or anyone else. Listen, it's all about you taking the chance. It's all about you catching the train. Yes, everyone else will tell you the same story. How did you buy this restaurant? Oh, when the news broke up, that Turkish news, I think it was a big news, it was 2018. One of the nice journalists came to New York and interviewed me and had a big corner for me on his paper, one of the biggest Turkish newspaper. I think it was called Milliet. So this lady put a nice article on it. It was like, Shepherd makes $10 million a year. And this whole news broke like really big. It became like viral and all over Turkey. And then people were like commenting nasty things and all kind of craziness and all. You have no idea what they were saying about me. But no one knows who this guy is. No one knows how I made this. No one ever imagined that. I was like all people talking about it, drugs and women and all crazy idiot things, which I never ever done in my life. So you look at those people, what do you think about it? Does when you see those comments, the people doesn't even know you. They never seen you in their
so
life.
So can you share how
easy
you did
to this? Say how? Bad thing for people, but it never they will never expect the success that these people made it. How they made it? Yes, that's the question. How did I make it? Did you ever ask me? Did you ever read these stories about me? No. Then, but
no, easy I read to go. All of your stories. I literally spent all night last night reading every, consuming every content that had to do with you. Didn't say how you went from busboy to restaurant owner. I've never heard that story before. No one has. We never.
Listen,
have.
It's possible in America only. America is a dream country. You come to this country with a dream. I think you'll have a good chance to make it. In Turkey, I will probably be still going around and doing my shepherd things. But in America, you came here with the dreams and follow it. And so I follow my dreams. How did I make it? That's a lot of hard work behind it. That's a lot of suffering behind it. And it's a lot risk behind it. So I could be fucking up everything and going back to fucking, who knows, probably, you know, I borrow money from people. I borrow money from people. The Turkey didn't even have the money. Whatever they had, I borrow those guys, borrow money from those kids. And then I promised them I will return it double, which I did. When I came to this building and I told the owner, she knew me. I worked for her a couple months and I worked so hard for her and she liked me more than any other whole employees. So I left her, get another job from across the street, Nello's restaurant. Then Nello's partner, Nello got in partnership. Nello lost business and Nello's partner is a Greek man. He didn't like it the way I was working. He fired me. And then I came back to this restaurant, 75 Main. Said, you know what, I will get a job from here. And I loved the Hamptons. I didn't want to leave the Hamptons, go somewhere else or Miami or anywhere else. I came back to the Hamptons and I called this lady. Her restaurant was closed. I said, hey, I'm in the Hamptons and if you need any help, I'm looking for something to do. And she was crying and all that. I was lost for 7-8 years that she had never heard from me. And I told her all the stories and was on the phone with 7-8 hours and the same person who owned this restaurant. And
wait,
I told her 7-8 hours I was on the phone and the
you
same day.
You have unlimited calling?
You have always unlimited call if you have a real serious business. So we're talking about I was talking about how to take this business over.
So like you were showering with the phone on speaker.
I was like told her that I'm interested in buying your restaurant, and she's like, I'm getting tired. I'm gonna be retired. I wanna go, you know, back to my kids and back to my house. And she was living in Boca Raton. We got our attorneys together and put the contract together. I borrowed money again from her, from everyone else, signed the big, you know, numbers, huge numbers that I was going to pay back to her when I do the business. I made a deal with all those vendors. I said, listen, this is what I'm doing. I have no money right now. I want a 1 month credit. I promise you guys going to get paid more than you guys, you know, you're going to expect it, but just give me the credit until I open up my restaurant. They were cool with it. I told them I will support you as long as I'm in the business, which I did. I'm still working with the same meat guy, same fish guy. Those people who believe in me, and they gave me the chance, gave me the free product, not free products, but the credit products. Then I get back to my business. I open up the restaurant and all my life changed. I was making $700-$800 a week a month before. Then a month later, I started seeing hundreds of thousands of dollars going into my account.
Miami penthouse, here we come. Right?
That's the best part, yeah, Miami penthouse. Listen, we have only one life. Yes, you work hard, you make it. You want to spend your money on your personal things. I like Miami. I bought a penthouse there and a beautiful place. I'm on the 48th floor and both rooms, looks in the ocean. It's great, living like a king in Miami.
What's a boat room?
I have two rooms.
Oh, both rooms. Oh, so boat. Okay. No, it's not, guys. This guy didn't even know English when he came to this country.
No, no, there was
right?
A zero
so
English.
Don't even try.
The first
to make
English I learned
English.
Yep. That was the exit. So when I was coming from the JFK to the New York City, I had a little yellow dictionary I brought from Turkey from my pocket, and it was the only thing I had. Very valuable in my, with me. So when that exit, any, you know, the bus was keep passing by those exit signs, and I'm like, what's exit mean? I was looking at my dictionary. Exit means exit. Oh. So that's the first word in English I learned in America. That's exit. Easy. It was the exit. Yeah.
So I would like to know, since you are quote unquote self-made, right? Is that, that's how you told me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, so you're coming from a dishwasher and all.
Because here's the thing: we're in the Hamptons. I'm a local. I grew up with friends who I don't know. They would buy a they had their car, and then they would buy a they bought a fire engine just so they can cut traffic during the summer. Like that, I grew up with kids like that where money was just game to them. So, do you despise people who are like daddy's money?
Now listen, those kids always, I love those kids. They spend so much money in my nightclub.
Yeah.
So need them. I need them more than anyone else. So those kids comes in my restaurant or my club. I remember this last past summer. So this kid has $20,000+ tab. My cashier called me.
What's his name?
I can't share that, but those are good customers. Their son, they come in and spend a large amount of money. So my cashier called me and said, this ID and then credit card doesn't match. What do you want to do? I said, well, no, we don't accept that. It has to be match ID. You know, otherwise, we're going to get charged back next day. And the kid comes to me like, Zach, you know my family. They love you. So he is like, I was like, all right, then call your father. 4:30 a.m., this kid calls his father. And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm sorry to bother you, but your son is here and has a $20,000+ tab. Are you okay with your credit card? I was like, yeah, Zach, don't worry about it. Just charge him, whatever. It was incredible. Look, but listen, on my side, I look at those kids as like, I hope they're going to be a good
Jack
kid in
Brinkley
the future.
Jack Brinkley Cook?
Who?
Okay, never mind.
Wait, I missed it.
This, the son of someone. Okay, so why is
about
this...
Brinkley, you said? Christopher Brinkley's son?
Jack, yeah.
He cooks?
No. His last name has a cook in it. It's
Brinkley
father. Hyphen Cook.
Yeah, his father was Peter Cook. So.
Oh, 21, I think. Okay.
I've seen a whole family comes in and out.
Yeah, I think I want to be her friend because think about it. Like, if she is totally okay, and I know I've met them, I've spoken with them, if they're totally okay and it seems like actual love, how open-minded she must be. I feel like she would be such a fun friend to have, you know? Like, she's taking 7-year-old. Oh, I shouldn't cut this out. But yeah.
I wouldn't share her age. No, she's, you know, listen, it doesn't matter how old she is, but she looks great. And I like her personally. I know she came out with her, I think, Prosecco or some wine. I mean, listen, we live in the Hamptons. I like to see those people living in the Hamptons. You need those locals. And as a local business owner, no matter what, who they are, we all need a local support here.
It's really cool because I feel like I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you're not only the restaurant owner, you're also the new landlord of 75 Main, which congratulations. And does that mean, like, is that a lot because of the locals' money, or is it more of the celebrities' money?
No, it was the happiest moment was actually my life. Thinking of that, starting this restaurant as a dishwasher, coming all the way, opening these doors as an owner, it was a big deal for me. But coming to the end of my 10-year lease, I had to do something about it. And
That was me clapping for the
I was my personal gift for myself. Oh. And this was a gift for myself. And 10-year anniversary, I came up with the, you know, deals, numbers and everything. December 31st, 2020. And the worst year, the COVID, you know, hit the whole world and everything. And I came up to buy a whole building, which is one of the best real estate in Southampton. Seriously, it's like 12,000 square feet. It's an incredible location restaurant. And I'm super happy to own this building. So when I bought this restaurant, whole building, on the first night, it's New Year's Eve, I slept on this floor right here without anything. And I'm like, this ladies who come
were
in the morning.
Were you naked or did you at least have clothes?
I was naked, yeah. It was hot right. Summer. I mean, December 31st was cold. I couldn't be naked in my floor. But I was sleeping on the floor and this ladies in the morning comes in. They came in, they were like, local, look. I'm like, who is it? Turn around, my whole people were here. They came for cleaning and they were getting ready for the open the restaurant. Yeah, but it was the good feeling about it. Even the sleeping on the floor, it was the best night's sleep I ever had. I own this whole building, so it's what's better than this? Starting as a like dishwasher owner, the $10 million real estate in Southampton. I give credit for myself. It's a big deal.
So, I would like to know, what is your definition of a winner and what's your definition of a loser? Because this podcast is called Winners Only Club.
Okay, winners are self-made. Losers are the daddy money users.
What?
Daddy's money is the user and losing those monies. Those are the losers.
What if they use daddy's money and make a lot of profit from it?
If they do that, I will give them credit. But most of the kids that, you know, if you give them the daddy's money, usually end up a different way. Like as I said, they will do drugs and all craps and all the stuff. I get upset for it, but in the end, it's daddy's money. They just sleep on it. But if you self-made it, every dime is count. Myself, I mean, I was so upset that I was seeing the electric bill. It was $6,000 for my other restaurant. And we're in November. I called my office. I'm like, how is that possible? Call this electric company. Why we have the $6,000 bill for the winter? Summer, yeah, I get that. We use a lot of electric in the hotel and nightclub. There's a lot going on. You have six ice machines in the back. It's okay, I will say. But why would I get the $6,000 bill in the winter?
When you say hotel, do you mean Kozu?
No, I have a hotel too. I built a nice, beautiful hotel in... right by the Boulevard. It's 9 rooms. It's a nice, beautiful, modern rooms, and usually, you know, charging $1,500, $2,000 a night over the summer.
What happened to it? Like, what happened to Kozu?
Kozu is still there, and the hotel's still here.
So nothing closed?
No, I never closed my businesses.
I read something I did, but
which place? So usually not closed, but it might be changing the concept.
Mm-hmm. So what's the name of the hotel you have now?
Harpoon House in the Hamptons.
Sweet. So wait, let's give credentials to every single one of your place. Like, go 75 Main, Bluemar, Harpoon,
Summer House, Buddha Lounge, and I had another nightclub that I gave up. Not to give up, just changed. I was expecting better leads. AM nightclub, which was nice, and most of people will know about it. I may go back in it as well this year. Listen, I'm open to any kind of business. I look for the opportunities every day. There is always opportunity, unless if it fits in my mind. I'm not scared. I will take it over any restaurants or any nightclubs or any kind of business. It doesn't need to be hospitality. I could do anything, any business that I would love to. I mean, cryptos, and I would do any other stuff. Those are fun part, but in the future you might see me in a different. Areas that are in different businesses.
What's a Turkish proverb that is worth sharing to our followers and listeners? Because we do have a young demographic where, you know, we're not as established as Zach Erlem.
Listen, everyone, you know, we all want to be this successful in the life. The most important you're going to hear from everybody, hard work. Yes, that's one part. But if you're not smart enough, if you don't work hard, smart way, you're still gonna work hard all your life, but you're not gonna go anywhere. I will suggest everyone to, when you work, you don't have to work 20 hours a day, work 10 hours, 12 hours a day, but the smart way. I usually learn my mistakes. I usually learn stuff from the people who made mistakes. It's the best thing to find mentor for yourself. Not one though. I don't agree with having only one mentor. Choose couple people, one in finance, one in hospitality, one in, so which one are you close to? Hospitality, so you closely follow that person, but don't forget the other people too around you. Always good to learn their mistakes, then you don't want to make that mistake. So I think in America, I see the success is outdoor, and you just need to get out and catch it. It's easy and simple. Once you have it, you want to focus on it, and you want to spend your money on the good causes, good places. Like I worked so many other restaurateurs, most of them, they lost their businesses. I remember last person that I worked with, he made the money and he got so crazy about it and started using drugs. He started doing the hookers. He started doing the all kind of, you know, gambling and stuff. Once you go that way, you're not coming back. And he lost everything.
Did you used to drink and smoke and then you stopped, or you were always sober your life?
I never did. Oh. I promised my mom before I even came to the America. My mom was always scared about it. I was going to come and get lost in America. And all she, you know, it was old school. Never seen any, don't take me wrong, but I'm not a racist. I never seen black people in my life.
Yeah, I didn't see one until I was like 14 or 15.
When I came to America, this was shock for me. I'm like, why these people are different color? Like, listen, you're coming from the small village, has nothing, no TV, no road, no electricity. We're like completely somewhere else and it doesn't exist in this world.
Okay.
So that was very big surprising for me, seeing different colored people, Chinese and all kind of, it was shocking me. But it was a good thing that, you know, we started learning life. I always said that I was born in America when I was 21, because I started learning the real life. Okay. Before, I was only a shepherd, didn't know anything about the world.
But did you kind of, were you like preparing yourself when you were at London Business School for America, or that was like not really the same thing as America? Or do you not want to talk about, do you want to make your story just like straight up from shepherd to America?
No, the American story was when I was shepherd and the on a mountain and a railroad, I found a piece of paper someone threw from the railroad, and it's only a picture of the New York City. And I was just fell in love with those buildings. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know what New York was in that. They were saying New York, but I didn't know what that is. I was just kept that picture years and years. I'm like, I want to go here. I want to be there. And one day I approached my dream when I was 20, 21 almost. Came to America and opened my eyes and see the world a different way.
So how old were you when you were at 21. London Business School?
19, 20.
Did you graduate? As like you did 4 years there?
No, I never graduated. Oh. In any school that I went. I went couple school in Turkey as well. Uh-huh. One school I went, Eastern Turkey, they didn't like the way I was. I had the earrings, I had latachins and stuff.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because
Eastern
now you're so
clean cut.
Okay.
That was very interesting. I had a long hair and stuff. They didn't expect me.
That's so interesting.
They didn't. They were bothering me, beating me up. So I ran away from that.
I have to see a photo of that. That's so interesting. Because every time I see you, you're so well dressed and so clean cut. And now you used to be like long hair.
Those days are really interesting. I had the long hair and tattoos and you know, you had those ripped jeans and all over.
That's crazy.
Like the modern kid, but in the Eastern Turkey, they don't like those stuff.
Oh.
So I will get beat up and all stuff for that. And
okay.
I had to leave the school. And I went to Western Turkey, by the Istanbul. I started going to another school called Tourism Hotel Management. So which was, I enjoyed it. It was better than Eastern Turkey people. And I had so much fun there. Then I started working in the same time on the hospitality business and made my way to Istanbul. Then
you know,
New York.
Before we started this podcast, we did kind of a skit style. Zach Galifianakis, how do you spell that fat Greek's name? His style of interview for kind of like a funny thing. And then, I forgot where I was going.
What is it?
But
Greek name you said?
I literally forgot. Okay, I was going to say, okay. So we did that because I feel like more people would have watched that funny video than like this one. But I literally forgot how this is gonna go. Oh yeah, but the whole point of all of this is to give a plug. One of the points of this is to give a plug to your upcoming reality TV. So tell us all about that.
Oh my God, that's the best part in actually my life. Imagine Turkish shepherd comes to America, then American likes this guy, and they're like, you know, wanna get this guy name and have America watch this guy. What is he doing? What is he? But basically this, you know, happens. I give credit to Teresa Sorkin, the lady who is actually a great producer, and she is a great person. She wrote a nice book and everything. I bought her book, 20 of them. I'm going to give it to my staff as a gift. She was the one made this show happen. She was really, you know, I didn't pay attention to her very much. My summer schedule is extremely busy and I focus on the business. But this was a fun part. So she's like pushing so hard. Then I'm like, this lady is real deal. So she pull up everything together, rent 4 houses, 24 employees from the Discovery Plus, and camera guys and all producers and everyone, the staff house. We rent a really nice staff house for the cast members and stuff. So we start the filming mid-July till August, almost end of the August. So we had a great time over the summer. I mean, if you were in the around here, you could see all the cameras all over the restaurant and following me and my staff. We had a great time. So the show is we filmed, so now it's editing. I know the first episode is all done 100%, and they're on the second episode. It will be, I think, the 4 or 5 episodes for first season. once this done, it's going to air on Discovery Plus end of the January. And then after Discovery Plus, we have Food Network. I think it's in February. And once Food Network is over, then we'll have HBO. So it will be three different big networks that's going to be streaming the show. I'm super, super excited about it. And I could never imagine that Shepherd comes to America. Being in Southampton, that you know, world elite people lives, and you're in the Hamptons. Like seriously, you go to Ibiza, you go to Mykonos, you go to Saint-Tropez. Everyone will talk about the Hamptons. Everyone will be like, when you say I'm from Hampton, they're like, oh, really? You're from Hamptons.
That like, reminded me of a really interesting point. Is that when you first came, you arrived at JFK.
I arrived at JFK.
How long did you stay at New York before you came out here? And how did you know about the Hamptons? How did people tell you? Like, what was your impression?
Always wanted, like, it's very simple too. You want to be a famous podcaster. You want to work with those people. You want to work famous. But you want to be rich, stay with the rich. You want to be loser, stay with the loser. You want to be drug addict, drug dealer, stay with drug dealer. You want to be mob, stay with the mob. So it's very simple. And I want to be in the, like, safe area and then richest area. That you know that you want to meet the people here. Who you're gonna meet here? You're not gonna meet the losers. Yeah, there is a loser, but very little chance to meet the losers in the Hamptons. So you're only gonna meet people who sit in your bar. They're all smart, or finance, or Wall Street guys, and all people that you want to speak with. You want to have ideas. You want to get put the dots together. So you get one dot from me, one dot from everyone. So you put those together in the end, and you're halfway on your success. So I want to be in this area. When I arrived in New York, I had no clue about the Hamptons, but I always looking for where the people with the money, where those good people live, and where's the safest area. That was the Hamptons. So I end up in Southampton.
Did you know about the Hamptons before coming to America?
No, I had no clue. So I only knew those pictures in New York City, and I didn't know where is it. Miami, I will never know where the Miami was. Everyone's like, Miami. I'm like, what
Miami?
Is Miami? Miami. What is this Miami? You're like...
How did you hear about the Hamptons?
That, like, when I was in New York City and, you know, was trying to understand where the rich people lives. And it was summer was approaching and everyone was, like, talking about the Hamptons.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is Hamptons? Who's living there? And look it up. And the people that I was speaking with, they were like, oh, Hamptons is all the rich people, all the rich people. And I'm like, this is where I want to go.
You didn't really know English too much when you first came?
No, zero English.
Did you go
I didn't even know yes and no.
English first? Or did you go to English language school?
I didn't finish it. I did a couple of colleges, schools, and again, everything was about my business. The language I knew I was going to learn. The best way to learn, you know, find out some nice girl and speaking with that person daily, I think it was the best thing. I tried to keep myself away from the Turks, which I did. I never had a Turkish friend. I mean, like still, I have very few Turkish people.
Okay.
I always kept myself with the Americans and more, you know, speaking English, nothing else that I was looking for.
Does Turkey allow dual citizenship?
Yes, they allow. Dude, I'm American and Turks, so Turks, I think most of the country does that.
I had a transfer at Ulof Board. Do you want to just finish and go to the surprise part?
No, I am good.
Okay. I went to, I actually did a what do you call that thing? Transfer at Istanbul Airport. And remember, like...
Oh, you've been in Istanbul?
Yeah, at the airport. And I remember there was a guy, like, with the... Like, inside of the airport, there was a big, round cooking thing. And he was making something that looks like a pancake, but it was very thin. And he was flipping it. And I paid him, like, a Turkish coin, and I got the pancake
thing. What is it?
I don't know. He said, they're really good, so I got it.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like some kind of... was it sweet?
Seaweed?
Sweet dessert?
Sweet?
Or
no? No, it was salty.
No, it wasn't salty? I don't know. I mean, Turks are crazy. They have all kind of stuff.
All right.
What else?
I think that's it. I think it's time because the surprise is waiting for you. So that is an appreciation for your time today. I really appreciate you
so
doing the podcast.
Am I getting lap dance?
from me? No.
I don't know who you bring in.
No. But I would like to say, do you want to like give your plugins, whether it's for like finding a girlfriend or from a business or whatever you want to do?
Know,
tell people where to find more of you.
My show is coming up. I want everyone to watch my show. And the show is going to be interesting, exciting, and gives you a lot of idea. And you will find so much about me and my success stories and my businesses.
It might help if you tell them the name.
The show name is The Serving the Hamptons. Okay. So we'll be, I think, if this show is successful, which is going to be successful, and we're going to do Miami, Serving the Miami. We're doing Dubai, Serving Dubai. So any place I open restaurants or any other businesses, we're probably going to take all my crew and go to the shows.
Okay, Zach, thank you for the interview. Thank you, viewers, for listening. You were kind of out of frame the entire time, but thank you, everyone. And now it is
Thanks
a surprise time, and we have a funny version of this called, it's the same name, but it's just a funny version on YouTube. My name is Lulu. I'm the host. Here's Zach, everybody.
Lulu, that's a beautiful name, Lulu. I like the name.
It means raindrops in Chinese.
What is it?
Raindrops.
Oh, I love the name, Lulu's. Very cool. There's a restaurant called Lulu's. I was looking at actually that name. I was trying to do another nightclub, which is actually still going to happen, but I want to come up some cool name. I didn't decide it yet. We've been working about the name. I want to come up some catchy name, but that wasn't my list, actually. Lulu Club or something.
Cool. Yeah, because names are so important.
We want to catch you something nice, cool.
Wait, is that your real name or do you have a Turkish name?
No, I have a Turkish name, okay. But no one knows it. I don't want to share it. Everyone knows me as Zach.
Why did you choose Zach, though? That's
I didn't choose it. There was Americans. They were having a hard time to say my real name. And it was always issues, always like, how you spell it? How you did it? I was going through so much hard time with the people. And I choose to be like similar to my name.
Yeah.
And I choose the Zach.
Cool. Zach, you are a star, and maybe this will be the introduction to your branching out not only hotels and nightclubs and hospitality, but in social media, superstar television, media, blah,
Listen,
blah,
this
blah.
Listen, this is my first podcast, so by the way, I've never done this before, so you guys enjoy. If you want to know more about me, please watch and check out my show. It's coming up soon, and hope to give these people
another... Did you enjoy this first podcast?
It's interesting. I mean, the customers watching us and taking snap and pictures. It looks like they're worried more than us. What did these people do?
Okay, guys, time for the surprise. So thank you for listening.
I can't wait.
Goodbye.
This lap dance. All right.
Bring the flag.
What are we going outside? The little one? Which one?
Congratulations for making it all the way to the end. That is the episode of Zach Erdem for Winners Only Club. Before interviewing him, I did some research and I noticed that a lot of interviews are basically pure ass-kissing or all praise and no actual factual questioning. So I grilled him for a little bit in the very beginning of this podcast. Here is a little reward for making it to the end. And if you want to see the entire episode as well as what you just heard in video form, YouTube or my website. Okay, bye-bye. So December 8th, you locked yourself out, but naked, out of your hotel room. What hotel was that?
December 8th?
December 8th, 2017.
Huh. How do you know that?
Is that your way to avoid the question?
How did you know that? Did I lock my... If I locked myself, that means...
You were butt naked. And you covered yourself with a tray.
Oh,